If you will, if you have your Bible with you, would you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And the title of this message is Sifted Faith. And while you turn into that text of scripture, just want to share with you briefly that in this chapter alone, there's quite a few things taking place. There's a culmination of things taking place here, where one of the things that you have here is Christ is betrayed by Judas. The upper room is prepared for the Passover. The Passover is celebrated. The Lord's Supper is instituted. Christ predicts his betrayer. Christ predicts Peter's denial. Christ prays to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane that if this cup could pass from me. When I think about that within itself, if this cup could pass from me, I think that at some point we all could relate to going through something and wishing that this cup could pass from me. Whether it be turmoil in my relationship, in my family, whether it be a sickness or a disease, whether it may be something that has come upon me that's greater than I am. Father, I wish that this cup could pass from me. I don't want to suffer this thing, whatever it might be. So we understand Jesus in his humanity, and when the scripture relates to that and giving him that title, Jesus is relating to him in that capacity. And when it goes on to say, when he's seated at the right hand, it's talking about him in another capacity. So we see Jesus' humanity right there where we relate to that. As he was going through something. Of course, whatever it is that we're going through cannot even remotely compare to what our Lord suffered. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious eternal Father, here we are, Lord Father God, in this place. Lord, Father God, we lift our hands in surrender. Lord, Father, and we say, have your way. Lord God, here are your children. They come, Lord God, to hear a word from you, Lord God. And Lord God, anything that is of my flesh, Lord God, I ask that you cast it aside, Lord God. I want to say what you say. Let my words, Father God, be synonymous, Lord Father, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Father God, these are your people, and they come to hear a word from you, Lord God. Open the understanding of their hearts and minds, O Lord Father God, that your word, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, will resonate deep in their spirit man and spirit woman, O Lord. O Father God, that somebody, O Lord Father God, will look to you for the answers and the troubles, Lord God, that they face. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. In the text of scripture, in Luke 22, verse 31, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Translation may be a little different, but I pray that we all end up in the same place, amen. Verse 31 reads, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. To deny our Lord, our Savior. And as you read on further in that text in your spare time, you'll see that three times Peter denied him when he was asked by a woman, I believe, and then it was a man, was he with him? Did he know him? And he denied him. So as a follower, could you think, could you imagine how terrible for me or somebody to say, I profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, but in the company of whoever, I deny him. I can't think of too much more of a terrible incident in which I deny my Christ, especially in the times in which we live today, and our thoughts and our prayers go out to the people who are suffering, our Christian brothers and sisters who are still being martyred. Just in Egypt not too long ago, a week or two ago, that there were several Coptic Christians that were murdered. So I had to do an introspection, if you will. I had to do a self-examination of myself, and as difficult as it may seem, if I'm somewhere in a place where I'm about to lose my life, nobody else around, and somebody says to me, deny your Lord and Savior or die. Nobody else around. I know what my position is, and I know what my call is, and I know what my response would that to be. But here we have a situation where Peter denied the Christ, but he said, right before our Lord, I will follow you to prison, even to death. Then he denies him. Also, the scripture in this passage shows us that Peter went off and he began to weep. He began to cry passionately because of what he had done. So I can only imagine what it is that he may have felt to suffer that. So the title again of this message is Sifted Faith. So here we have in the text of scripture, we have the enemy, if you will, asking permission from God to sift Peter. The first thing that stands out for me is that when I read that passage of scripture, it lets me know that God is still sovereign and that God is still in control, and that the enemy cannot do anything to you without permission. That's a sobering thought for me, because that means that we're not alone in the world, that God's mighty hand is still stretched out. And as Christ said in the book of Matthew, he said, all that you've given me, I will not lose none, that no one or no thing can snatch them out of my hand. So what that tells me is that, contrary to some beliefs, that your salvation is secure. Because if we don't believe that our salvation is secure, then God cannot be sovereign. He cannot be almighty. That there has to be a greater force out there that's more powerful than God. I personally believe that he is all sovereign and that he is mighty. So the enemy has to go to God to ask God for permission to sift Peter. So here, God in his sovereignty, similar to the situation with Job, where the enemy was asked to sift Job, if you will, and the sifting is our trials. Whether it be through cancer, whether it be through some form of disability, whether it be through some form of drug use, alcoholism, the enemy has to ask God for permission to sift. But the next part of that verse, Christ says, I have prayed for you. Oh, wow, that's just mind-boggling to know that the Lord has prayed to the Father, because he is our mediator and he goes between us and the Father. And even though we don't always know what to pray, we kind of fix, he kind of gets them and fix things up like a bouquet of flowers. We give it to him all wrangled up and twisted, and he takes it and fixed our prayers up real nice and neat and presents it to the Father because he's the intercessor. And we don't always know what's ahead, but he does. And he says to Peter, he says, I prayed not that you won't fall, not that you won't sin, but that your faith won't fail. And we're going to look at a few other texts of scriptures concerning faith, but he prayed that your faith won't fail. How many of you know that when Jesus prayed for you, you've been prayed for? Now, I don't belittle the prayers of my brothers and sisters, but when Jesus prayed for you, you've been prayed for. And what a sobering thought that is, to go to bed at night to know that Jesus has prayed for me. And how can this story be correlated to your life? How can the stories of the Old Testament be correlated to me? How does that equate with me now? Malachi 3:6 says that he's unchanging. And the depiction in these stories shows his relationship with them. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And how much more for his crown creation? We are under grace. We are under grace. And we can on and on and on and teach on and on about grace, and there's so much there with that, but we are under the new covenant of the blood of Jesus, and we're under grace. And so our sisters and brothers, as they look, our sisters and brothers and our first century believers, as they look to the cross of the things that was to come, we have the end of the story. We have the New Testament. We have what they didn't have. So we look back at the cross as they look forward to the cross. And we have more in abundance in what they have. After the Old Testament was written, there was a 400-year of silence called the intertestamental period, where God was silent, but he was moving. And so now we have the revelation of the scriptures that are written in the New Testament, and how much more knowledge, wisdom, understanding that we have, that we should be even more confident in our position as believers, even more confident in our faith. Jesus said in John, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So just as Peter was, we identify with that because we are his disciples indeed. Oh, what an awesome thought to just think that the earth and all that she is, there was a seed that came down from a different kingdom and planted into that earth. And that seed took root in 12 people. 12 people went under the discipleship of the seed of Christ. And now we are where we are today because of those 12 that God has chosen. So, beloved, it suggests to me that there has to be a connection. And the Bible talks about the heavens. So you have the heavens in terms of the immediate, if you will, where the rain and the clouds and things are. And then you have the further parts of the heaven. And the Bible talks about the third heaven and where Christ sits on the throne. And but there has to be a connection. Theologically speaking, there has to be a connection. And I say a connection to what? A connection from the earth to the heavens. A connection for us to the heavens. Here, if you will. Free science lesson, just a brief science lesson. Won't charge you for this. Without sun, without rain, the earth will die. Rest assured, the earth will die. So the earth has to be properly connected to the heavens. to get sun, to get rain, that she may live. We too need to be connected to the higher heavens, that we may be alive, that we may get daily nourishment, like sunlight, like rain. This, to us, is what the sun and the rain is like to the earth. It's life. Because once upon a time, we were in the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead being disconnected spiritually from the Lord. But because he loved you so much, his crown creation, that he will come to the earth in the form of a man, and that he will give you stories and depictions throughout the Bible, and that those prophecies will be fulfilled. And in hindsight, we see that those prophecies were fulfilled. That's enough for me. I don't need a whole bunch of miracles. I'm not standing before you today sharing this word with you because somebody told me. I'm sharing this with you because I've lived it for myself. I've experienced the Lord for myself. I'm talking about so far at the bottom where you couldn't see the top. And the word says that we must come to him with a broken and contrite spirit, and he sees that in your sincerity, that I surrender. And if the glass is filled, if you will, if the glass is filled with all the things that I want and all the things that I want to do, then God can't pour his spirit in. So what I have to do, I have to empty myself out as Christ did. He emptied himself out as a man, that the spirit and what God had will move. So we see the things that Christ did and we emulate that. And Christ said it. He said it. I don't come on my own accord, but I come on the accord of my Father to do the will of my Father. I do the things that pleases him, and I say what he wants me to say. That right there is a wealth of information to me. Even though I felt like saying this, even though when I got cut off on my way to work, I felt like saying this, but I said what he said. I don't always feel like saying what he said. Feel like saying some other stuff. But obedience is better than sacrifice, and I say what he says. Whoever that was that cut me off, Lord God, I just ask that you be with them. Lord Father God, I ask that you just send them a word, Lord God. When we do what he says do, spiritually something is happening, and we don't always understand it, but we trust God. That is always good, and it's always for your good. Always for your good. He never thinks ill will towards you. No matter what you have done, no matter how far that you venture out, he's not standing up there with his arms like this thinking, oh, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you for that. No. How do we know that? Because we have depictions and stories in the Bible that shows his relationship with other people. And just like Malachi 3:6, he's unchanging. Why do you think we have the story of the prodigal son? Because he shows that if you go astray, that the loving father is there to receive you back. How do we know? Look around you. Look at the love of a mother and a father. Look at the love of a mother, no matter what her son has done. He could have done crimes all across the country. Been painted a bad picture upon him. But a mother go to him and she'll say, that's my boy, I love him. Where does that come from? It didn't originate with the mother. It originated with the father. He has given her the ability to do that. So when we see that, we can look at that and say, that's God. That kind of love is God. A father, when his son has went out and spent all his inheritance, I gave him some money when he graduated from school, he went and spent it all up. The father said, come home, son.
I'm here for you. Where does that come from? It comes from God. Amen. So we look at our faith and we see that Christ here prayed for Peter that his faith will not fail. And when we think about faith, we think about believing. But if you look at the scriptures closely, there's a contrast there between believing and faith. And it says in Romans that our faith is a gift from God. So the more and more that I see the revelation unfolding, in the beginning, there's a belief that God spoke and he created the world. And it says in Hebrew that we see and we believe that which we see, the world, which was created by that what we don't see. And even in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and it goes through there and it talks about the hall of faith. And it talks about verse 1, it says, now faith is. Did you catch that? Now faith is. So now faith is. If it's yesterday, it's now. If it was 10 years ago, now faith is. Because we live in the chronos and God lives in the kairos. With God, there's no time. So now faith is. The substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So what did that suggest to me? If it's evidence, first we talk about 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says we walk by faith and not by sight. And then if you looked at how synonymous that is with the understanding of faith as is defined in the Bible, we see in Hebrews where it says that it's the evidence of things not seen. So what does that suggest? If I walk by faith and not by sight, that suggests to me that faith has nothing to do with my senses. See, touch, hear, smell. It has nothing to do with that. Where my understanding ends, faith begins. So here God opens up a portal of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he's given to you by faith. And now that you're a steward of what God has given to you, and you say, you know what, God, I don't know, I don't understand all this, but I trust it. And no matter how much the enemy has appealed to God to sift through you, through your finances, through your marriage, he's asked for permission to sift, to test your faith, if you will. Why does he want to sift my finances? Why do he want to sift through my marriage? Why do I need to be sifted with illnesses? And of course, I don't have all the answers for that, but I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. So even if I'm operating in an illness, I still trust the Lord. And because I believe what the word says that in Romans that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. Now I'm beginning to understand. I'm getting a better understanding of what God is talking to me about. An understanding in my mind that would have never happened if I would not have surrendered my life to God. If I would have just hardened up and said, I'm not gonna go to church. I'm not gonna believe in no Christianity. I don't wanna. But now I have a better understanding of what God is saying. And it's becoming clearer and clearer by the governing of his Holy Spirit. And it says in the book of Ephesians, it says that his wisdom is constantly unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. And if you could think about wave after wave coming to the shore, his wisdom is unfolding. And the more time that I spend here, the more time I spend on my knees, the more time I spend seated at the feet of the master, learning, reading, praying, his wisdom is unfolding in my mind, taking my mind and my heart to places I never could imagine. So now I understand. And it's simple. God is not so much concerned with this. He's in the business of saving souls. So when I look at that, I smile to myself because I think, oh, God. And for so long, for so often, I looked at what I was seeing. Oh, this looks terrible. I don't think these people, I don't think I'm going to make it out of this situation. But now I understand. When the word says that there is no condemnation, it's not talking about the flesh. It's talking about my soul. And I say amen. I say thank you, Jesus. Our trials are the sifting process. If faith be kept up in an hour of temptation, though we may fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. Faith will quench Satan's fiery darts. I like to think about the Bereans in the book of Acts. They just weren't the type of people that would settle for anybody coming before them to speak and saying whatever it is they want to say. They went back and they searched and they searched. Because man is subject to mistakes. But God is not. So I urge you to search, to seek. Don't just take for granted anything that anybody might say. Search out the word for yourself. And I know that the Spirit of God will give you confirmation or not. I don't want the brothers in the church. I like to make fun of this. I was telling this to my fiance and the daughter. One brother says, he goes to another brother on the ministerial board, and he said, brother, I need $100. And the brother said, I'm not sensing that in my spirit, brother. I'm not sensing that in my spirit. I don't know whether he was or whether he not, you know, but whatever it is, send it through the Spirit. Lord God, a friend of mine asked me to invest some money or I wanted to go out. Send it through the Spirit. And look for that peace and that calm. Look for that whisper. Is there uneasiness? Amen. As Christians, though there be many failings, and there will be some failings, in our faith, as true believers, yet our faith shall not be a total and final failure because of those who are in Christ Jesus. Your faith will not be a final failure, beloved. And even though you've had experiences where seemingly your faith didn't get you where you thought it should, that's not a final failure. Turn to the Lord and say, God, I still trust you. Even to the point of death, I still trust you. I trust you. When it says that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, there is no other. He is the Almighty. He is the great I Am. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the Jehovah Nisi. He is the banner of faith. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the conqueror. There's nothing before him. There's nothing after him. He is the Alpha and Omega. And I don't know if it's true or not, but just a side note, I read a theology book, and it was saying, talking about why were those Greek letters chosen, those Greek symbols as the Alpha and Omega. And there was a passage in there that was talking about, well, then when you had the Greek lettering, then, of course, for us here in America, the alphabet represents all the words that we speak, the phonetic sounds and all those things, but that those Greek letters represented the knowledge.
from A to Z, and that he's all knowledge from A to Z. Anything that you could think of, anything that you can't think of. God is awesome. So even, beloved, when you're going through something, let your faith be rested in the Lord and what the things that what the Lord said. If you're going through a sickness, you proclaim that, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said, Lord, by your stripes, I'm healed. And as you go back in the book of Hebrews in the chapter 11, it says right then and there that those people that were in the faith and they believed things, and even though those things didn't happen to them in that lifetime, they still believed the Lord. So if I'm in him and my faith is in him and I just trust everything that he says and what he does, then it doesn't matter. Because in the end, I win. It's a win-win situation. There are 3 points I wanted to make. Did I mention that? Probably didn't. The first point is understanding what God says faith is. And we kind of touched on that. Understanding what God says that faith is. And beloved, it is so, so important that as Christians, that we know, that we know, that we know. Because the reality is this: the devil is asking for permission to sift some of us. But Jesus has prayed for you. That's the good thing, that Jesus has prayed for you. And all is well. Because remember what I said in the book of John, where Jesus said that all that you have given me, that nothing, no man can snatch them, no one can snatch them out of my hand. I don't know about you, beloved, but that just is so much of a sobering thought for me. And I'm the kind of person that I look at the glass as being half filled. I'm more optimistic than pessimistic. So you could say, North Korea has just launched a missile and it's coming to hit us directly. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know where I am. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. Nothing could befall you. I don't care what it looks like. Nothing can befall you. No matter how dim, no matter how grim the situation looks, there's enough faith in what God says before he can finish saying whatever it is that he said is coming to pass. I trust him, I trust him, I trust him. I believe him, I believe him, I believe him. I'm loyal to him, I'm loyal to him, I'm loyal to him. Do I always get it right? No. And I won't always get it right until the culmination of events take place in Christ's return. Then I will be caught up with you all, perfected in him. And I think oftentimes we place a lot of emphasis on I didn't get it right. So then the enemy kind of seeps in there and say, well, there's no sense of praying. That's not working. Why are you going to church? You just did that thing last night. Or you just did something last week. Why are you going to church? And he's constantly, constantly, persistently under attack. And here I come with my optimism. I'm like, oh, I believe what he said. I care what the situation looked like. I don't know what the word said. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that I walk by faith and not by sight. So that's my position. Beloved, that's your position. That God is there. He never sees you going anywhere without him. He never sees you. And oftentimes we just go on our little merry way and we're not even thinking about God. Whether you're going to the movies, a vacation, or you're going out to dinner and you got a nice meal in front of you, you know, you might say your grace or your prayers there, or bless the food, but constantly our mind is not always on God. He never sees you going anywhere without him.
And he desires a relationship with you. For some of us that are parents, where do you think that comes from? Your kids kind of grow up and you don't see them as much. You desire that fellowship. You don't call me anymore and I don't see you that much. God feels the same way when we don't fellowship with him. He desires it. He's the Father. That terminology, Father, wasn't originated just here. God is the Father of fathers. So it behooves me as a parent that I need instructions. I need to go to the Father then about my finances, about my marriage, about my children, about my walk, about thinking right. I need to go to him. So remember what I said, where our understanding and our belief ends, faith begins. Because we read that just a moment ago, I said that we walk by faith, not by sight. And in Hebrews, that is evidence of things not seen. So if it's evidence of things not seen, although I look at this piano with my eyes, it's not my eyes that tell me that this is a piano. It's my mind's ability to perceive information. So when that text of scripture said we walk by faith and not by sight, that lets me know that it has nothing to do with my mind. Because my mind perceives information, not my eyes. These are the windows, but my mind. So that suggests to me that faith supersedes any of my senses, and it's beyond my thought. But the good thing about that is that God has said that because I love you, I'm going to give you the gift of faith. I'm going to give you the way to which to exercise it, to make it stronger. I'm going to allow the enemy to sift you that your faith may be stronger. And then Christ said to Peter, when your faith has made you stronger, go back and strengthen somebody who's going through. So I can only, I can't even imagine what we would be and what it would be like if it wasn't for the 12 disciples to start the church. The 12 grows into 100, 102, 1,000. And now we have millions and millions of people that have given us their lives to the Lord. And whoa, and oh my goodness, to our beloved sisters and brothers who was so just rooted in their faith. They died. Some were beheaded. Some were stoned to death. And what a faith to have, to die like that, to be martyred. One theologian wrote in the book, he said that when they went to kill Peter, first they killed his wife too. His wife was with him on his missionary journey. And that when she died, Peter said to her, you know, it wasn't I love you, babe, I love you. It was like, remember the Lord. They were soldiers. And this theologian wrote that when Peter died, he didn't seem fit or worthy to be crucified in the same way. That was their method of killing then. And he didn't seem worthy to be crucified in the same way, so he asked them to turn him upside down, that he be crucified in that way. What a loyalty. What a loyalty for our Lord. So we see in hindsight here, the prophecy is fulfilled. The foresight is the signs of the times. Paying attention. Meeting out the scriptures. Paying attention. Watching. Praying. Staying vigilant. Because there are some things that are happening. And we need to be, as Christian, vigilant and prayerful. In the book of Matthew, it talks about, I think it's the 26th chapter, where it talks about the coming of the Son of Man won't be until the gospel has been preached in all four corners of the earth. Now, I encourage you to look this up for yourself, but me and my fiance did the research on this. And over 90-something percent, I believe it was 93, 95% of the gospel has been translated already. That's a sign. The word said that the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Christ, won't be until the gospel has been spread in all corners of the earth, in all languages, everywhere. And the Apostle Paul said, then let every tongue be stopped, because man will be without excuse. God said, I sent my servants to offer you to eat, to offer you salvation everywhere, every language, everywhere, all over the world. So we stand firm in our faith and our position as Christians. Point two, first point is understanding what our biblical interpretation and God's definition of faith is, and standing firm in our faith. My third point is trusting God, especially when I'm going through. It's so easy for me to just, thank you, Lord. Got my income tax back. I'm going shopping. Everything is good. Paid a couple bills. I got this last one, but I'm going to push that to the side for now. But I'm on the right track. But it's easy to praise Him when everything is just seemingly going well. But when you're going through, when you're going through that tough time, that's when we need to stand firm. And say, Lord God, I haven't done all that I could, and I haven't met every circumstances the way that I should have, but I trust you, and I surrender, and I say, have your way. Our owing to Jesus Christ, our intercessor, our mediator, that our faith, though often shaken, is not sunk. If it were left to ourselves, we would fail. We would fail. So our hope is in God as revealed in Christ Jesus. And to that we say amen. To that unique relationship by and through the Holy Spirit, through love and obedience expressed in our lives and our discipleship and service. That's the best I can do, is to show my appreciation for my Lord. And He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I haven't kept every one. But I trust that He will get me there. And that's why it says we walk. It's an action. So God chose the Bible and these depictions and these stories. These stories in this Bible are real. They're not just some far fairy tales. This is the way that God chose to tell His story. And we have so many questions about, well, why this and why that? Well, we haven't even started working on some of the simple things, and we're asking questions. Deuteronomy 29:29 said that the secret things belong to the Lord, and those things in which He chooses to reveal, He chooses to reveal to this generation and generations to come. So just because I don't know, I don't understand, doesn't mean that it's not good. He chose to tell His story from Genesis to Revelation through the lives of people that were liars, that were murderers, that were backbiters, that were slanderers, drunkards. The good thing is that if Christ prayed for you, that your faith not fail, you are secure in His hand. And because He has dealt everyone, a believer, a measure of faith, my encouragement to you is to exercise your faith. There is no higher standard of love, beloved, than to take a wretch like myself from where I used to be and put me here. I am an ambassador for the kingdom of Christ. I won't forget where I came from. So far down that I couldn't see the bottom. I don't know how you all do that, but to kind of just rattle that around your mind. But here I am. And I'm going to say what he tells me to say. Amen. My prayer is that we remember. We remember our Lord. And remember the sacrifice of love that he gave at the cross of Calvary. We weren't there, but I believe it to be so. There's no other religion that I've ever read or studied about where their leader got up out of the grave and conquered death. I believe it. I believe it. So if he conquered death for you, what could befall you? He's taken out the last and final enemy. Yeah, I know Satan knows the scriptures and he triples you up and sometimes he set traps and all that, but the Satan does not have the Holy Spirit. You do. So while the glory is unfolding from Genesis to Revelation, the angels are watching and they're saying, I can only imagine this, they're saying, what manner of love is this? When some of the angels sinned, they were kicked out. But the angels, I can only imagine, beloved, that they're watching and they're looking down and they're looking at you and they're watching the glory unfold and unfold and unfold. They're watching the church go forth. They're watching prayer and then fasting and blessings and miracles and deliverance. And they're watching and they're watching and they're saying, whoa, my goodness, just look at the glory unfold. So God has given an education up there and down here. And the glory is unfolding, unfolding, and unfolding, and unfolding. And for that, we say amen. Thank you, Lord. I won't keep you any further. Just wanted to stop by, share something with you from our Lord. And I pray that that resonates in your hearts. And I pray that God will give you that in which you need, that your faith shall not fail. And for that, Father, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been so good, O Lord, and yet we've been so unworthy. And you just keep pouring out your love and pouring out your love and pouring out your love. O Lord God, where will we be without you? And Lord Father, as my beloved brothers and sisters depart, Lord God, I ask that you walk with them. Give them that whisper of encouragement, Lord God, that you're there. No matter what trial that they're going through, Lord God, that you are there. Comfort them. And for our sisters and brothers, Lord God, who have been through something, send them back to encourage those, Father God, who are weaker. We know, Lord God, that there's good and bad, that there's evil, but we know, Lord God, that you are working in the midst and that you will get the glory in the end.